Imagine trying to teach algebra while actively worrying about explosives or, underground hazing rings and political rallies just erupting in the hallway.
Yeah, that is a wild scenario, but it's actually the reality that some educators face.
Right. And we've prepared this deep dive just for you today because we're looking at the 2010 Western Cape Provincial School Education Amendment Act.
Which is such an interesting piece of legislation.
It really is. Our mission here is to explore the fascinating mechanics of how a government attempts to legally engineer this safe, focused, depoliticized learning environment out of a really complex society.
Because, I mean, we tend to take a functioning classroom for granted, but reading through this legislation, it reveals the absolute scaffolding required just to let a teacher teach.
Exactly. And it starts right at the front gates with physical safety. You can't have a school without that.
But.
So the law explicitly bans dangerous objects, and it explicitly lists explosives and firearms, by the way.
Wow. Yeah, explosives.
Right. Along with illegal drugs and alcohol. And it gives principals the power to search learners and even administer non-invasive urine tests.
Which is a huge amount of power.
Right. So let's unpack this a bit, because it sounds like they're asking principals to double as TSA agents or like nightclub bouncers. How does a school balance being a place of learning with being a policing zone?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the law actually avoids turning educators into wardens. You should think of the principal more like a triage nurse.
Okay, a triage nurse. How so?
So they have the authority to stabilize an immediate threat, by seizing a weapon or drugs, but they are legally forced to hand the contraband and the whole situation straight over to the police.
Oh, I see. So that completely removes the legal liability from the school.
Exactly. The administration doesn't have to play judge or, secretly store dangerous evidence in a desk drawer. The chain of custody is meticulously regulated. And to balance that power, the law mandates severe civil rights protections. Any search has to be conducted in a private area by someone of the same gender with an adult witness of the same gender present.
Right. So it gives the administration the tools to keep the campus safe without allowing just a free-for-all violation of student privacy.
Yes, that.
But, stopping a physical weapon at the gate doesn't stop psychological harm in the hallways. So the act immediately pivots to secure the cultural and psychological safety of the students.
Right. They build this sort of walled garden.
Yeah. And it explicitly bans two major disruptors. First, it prohibits initiation practices, so hazing that endangers health or humiliates students.
Which is super important.
And second, it bans political activities during school time. So no rallies, no campaigning, no political posters.
Which is a heavy restriction.
Yeah. And here's where it gets really interesting to me. I struggle with this part a bit. Because schools are exactly where teenagers start forming their worldview. By banning politics, aren't they creating an artificial bubble? Like, don't kids need to learn about the political world?
It's a fair question, but if we look at the specific context of South Africa, there is a deep history of intense and sometimes violent political organizing that historically bled directly into the schoolyard.
Oh, right.
So this isn't about legally enforcing apathy. It's an active firewall. And notice the careful wording of the act. It bans political activities during school time.
Ah, got it. So it doesn't forbid like political education in a civics class.
Exactly. It just stops the primary mandate education from being hijacked by adult political agendas or, toxic peer traditions. The state is fiercely protecting the time and space meant for learning.
Because a school just can't function if its energy is totally consumed by external political battles.
Right. Or internal hazing rituals.
So once that physical and cultural firewall is built, the legislation pivots to its ultimate goal, which is academic accountability.
Right. The real reason they are all there.
Yeah. The head of department can legally identify underperforming public schools. And if that happens, the principals of those schools are forced to draft a formal academic performance improvement plan and report on their progress.
And this is where the sequence of this legislation is the crucial takeaway.
It's basically putting the entire school leadership on an academic PIP, a performance improvement plan.
Exactly. But you cannot fairly demand a massive academic turnaround from a principal or a teacher without first giving them the legal mechanisms to remove those explosives, the illegal drugs, the hazing rituals, and the political rallies from their campus.
The safety really has to come first.
Right. You can't demand academic results in a chaotic environment.
It takes an entire legal framework holding back the chaos so that education can actually happen.
Yeah, it shows the massive, complex legal machinery required just to let a student sit at a desk and learn math.
It really does. Which leaves you with this final thought to ponder. If a government actually has to pass legislation explicitly banning explosives, hazing, and political campaigns during school hours, what does that reveal about the broader societal pressures constantly trying to spill over the school gates